Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today is the Feast of the Annunciation. Yes, I'm right. I know. March 25th is the Feast of the Annunciation. But because of the way Easter fell this year, this great Feast of the Annunciation has been moved to today for just this year. Because we don't want to put that feast aside. It is, in a sense, the beginning of our salvation. So today, what is usually March 25th, is now on today, April 9th. The opening prayer says this: O God, who willed that your word should take on the reality of human flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary, grant, we pray, that we who confess our Redeemer to be God and man may merit to become partakers even in his divine nature. He created us because he allows us to share in his divine nature. And it's our Blessed Mother who was the first one to say yes. To yes. Oh, brothers and sisters, what a profound yes. Be it done unto me according to thy word. You know, in your own personal life and in your own personal prayer, you could say that prayer every day. Men and women, be it done unto me according to thy word. It puts you in a posture and a position, even if nothing looks different on the outside, it puts you in a posture and a position where God can work in you and God can work through you. God never forces himself on us. He waits for an invitation. This is a time to consider making that your invitation to God. Lord, let me live today as one who seeks to do your will. Be it done unto me according to your word. May I live this day in that spirit. This is what God has for us. This is what he desires to do for us. O God, who willed that your word should take on the reality of human flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary, grant, we pray, that we who confess our Redeemer to be God and man may merit to become partakers even in his divine nature. O brothers and sisters, let us rejoice in this feast of Mary's yes, that began the path of salvation for us. Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 to 14, and then chapter 8, verse 10. The Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, ask for a sign from the Lord your God. Let it be deep as the nether world or high as the sky. But Ahaz answered, I will not ask, I will not tempt the Lord. And then Isaiah said, listen, O house of David, is it not enough for you to weary people? Must you also weary my God? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you this sign. You say, oh, I'm not going to ask, I'm not going to ask, I'm not going to tempt the Lord. No, no, no. But that's exactly what God wants us to do, is to ask him to help us. Give me the grace to want your will. Give me the grace to desire your way. The Lord himself will give you this sign. The virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And then look at the psalm, Psalm 40, but look at the response that we're called to make. Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. That verse right there from Scripture, that verse introducing this psalm, part of Psalm 40, right here, you could use that as well. Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. Every morning, every afternoon, here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. And the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 4 to 10. Brothers and sisters, it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats takes away sin. For this reason, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. In holocausts and sin offerings you took no delight." And then I said, as is written of me in the scroll, "Behold, I come to do your will, O God." First, he says, sacrifices and offerings, holocausts and sin offerings you neither desired nor delighted in. These are offered according to the law. And then he says, "Behold, I come to do your will." He takes away the first to establish the second. By this will, we have been consecrated through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Unite your will with God's will, and he will reveal himself in you and through you. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. And then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." What a powerful proclamation. But Mary, in her humanity, though she was the holiest of human beings, in her humanity, she's troubled by what he said. And she says, "How can this be? Since I have no relations with a man, how could I have a child?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Elizabeth was carrying John the Baptist, though we didn't know him at that point. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. Now, I want to say something here to us, because this is beautifully written. This passage of Luke is beautifully done, and the grace and the power of God is so evident. But brothers and sisters, think of Mary's life. She said yes to God. And it's beautiful, but she meant her yes, a complete yes, that her life was given over to God. And so when the hardships came, when Jesus left home and she was more alone, though not totally, but she was more alone, what was that like for her? What was it like for her when she heard criticism of him in the town or the village? What must that have been like for her? Pierced her heart. What was it like for her to see him condemned? To see his body and knowing that he had been so terribly tortured? To see that and yet not to turn away, not to run, but to follow him right up to Calvary? Brothers and sisters, the Blessed Mother did not have an idyllic life. Oh, well, you know, she had Joseph for a husband and she had Jesus for a child. Her life must have been perfect. No. She bore all the crosses in one form or another that many wives and mothers do. In fact, she experienced some of the worst, especially the worst, because she knew by that time who her son really was. She knew. Wouldn't you have been angry? Wouldn't you have lashed out against the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and et cetera, et cetera? Wouldn't you be tempted to despair when she knew, so clearly knew who her son was, so clearly knew his love, his mercy, his forgiveness? She had seen it with so many people. And here he is, as Scripture says, like a lamb led to the slaughter, that before its shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. What must that have been like for a mother? Brothers and sisters, sometimes we can, as I say, we recreate Mary in our image and likeness, that she was this beautiful, holy woman, which she was. But we don't take into account all that she suffered and still never turned away, never rejected, never distanced herself, because everybody around was saying, oh, he's this and he's that and he's a criminal and he deserves to die and he's caused this and he's caused that. And all it would have taken was for somebody to turn and say, and there's his mother. Must she not have known at some point some fear? Think about what she endured. And when you, especially you as mothers and fathers, when you find yourself in a difficult situation in your family, go to the Blessed Mother. Ask her for help, because she knows what you're going through. It might have a different form to it, but she knows the agony of your heart, mothers and fathers. She knows it. What must she have felt like when she saw that Jesus' closest followers were denying him? I don't know him. It's just one sword after another piercing her heart. Mary suffered terribly, and yet she loved, and yet she was faithful to the very end, be it done unto me according to thy word. Let's take today in part, just in part. Let's take today and ask the Blessed Mother, pray for me, Mother, pray for me that my faith may grow, that my faith may be deeper in all of the challenges that I experience, particularly as mothers and as fathers. But all women, all men, all of us carry heavy burdens. All of us do. And we think, oh, it was easy for her because she knew Jesus. It was easy for her because she didn't have to deal with this. But she had to deal with some very, very excruciatingly painful sorrows and pain. And brothers and sisters, what did she do? She turned around and ministered to those who had denied her son. Please take a look at the Blessed Mother. Take a look at what a heroic, strong, committed woman she was. And ask God for the grace. Ask God for the grace to imitate it. Ask God, well, I should put it this way. Ask God for the grace. Ask him, give me grace that I may bear my crosses with the faith that Mary had. Give me hope. Give me love. When I want to react with hatred, give me love. You ask for these graces, and your Blessed Mother will hear you and intercede for you. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.